Broadcasting live from the Business Radio X studios, it's time for St. Louis Business Radio. Now here's your host, Michael Greenberg.
Hello and welcome to St. Louis Business Radio. Today we've got Susan Gerard of Gerard Marketing Group, as well as one of her clients, Caroline Dietzen of San Gabriel Assisted Living and Memory Care. Now, Susan, how did you start Gerard Marketing Group?
Well, I had worked in the industry for about 10 years, both with large advertising agencies and then also on the client side. I really enjoyed both roles, and then I stayed home for 10 years and was a freelancer while I was raising some children. And when I came back to the industry full-time again in 2013, I wanted to build the kind of place where I wanted to work. I built a virtual company called Gerard Marketing Group, and we built it to be a place where people love to work and would have the freedom to work from whatever space they wanted to versus going to an office. And I took the experience I had in working on both the agency and client side and built the kind of agency that medium-sized companies needed today, because the media landscape has changed so drastically. I could see that the way agencies served their clients needed to change with that.
Fantastic. Sherry, you were a client of Gerard Marketing, but loved it so much you decided to move over and become director of accounts.
I sure did, actually. So I am a lifelong marketer, and most of my experience had been in corporate marketing, although I certainly did work for a large marketing agency as well. Recently, I was working for a firm that really, an 86-year-old company that needed a fresh start. And I hired the Gerard Marketing Group and really fell in love, not just with the work, but how they did the work. And so when I was planning my escape from the corporate side of things, I thought, you know, if I were going to do some work, I'd really like to work in a way that the Gerard Marketing Group works. So I contacted Susan, and it's worked out pretty well. I'm happy to be here today and supporting her direct business development efforts.
Fantastic. So what has changed in the marketing landscape that needs Gerard Marketing Group?
Well, the marketing landscape has changed quite a bit. You know, with digital, not only are people all needing websites, they need them to be updated, they need them to be current. They also mostly need to be on social media and companies of all types and sizes, in addition to the old ways of doing advertising. Print, radio, TV, and outdoor. So we like to break it into three groups. In the industry, they talk about it in terms of paid advertising, which is your traditional advertising, earned media, which are things like social media, and kind of think of that as a two-way conversation. And then the third group would be owned media, where it would be your website or maybe apps that you have out there where you're a resource to other people. So typically, an agency or a marketing firm would only specialize in one of those major categories. So what's changed dramatically is marketing managers are tasked with figuring out how to take paid, owned, and earned and combine them efficiently. And it usually means hiring at least three different agencies or firms to help them do that. So that's one of the biggest challenges they face today, is managing multiple agencies in this media environment that's just exploded and is so... it's much more convoluted. The path to reaching your target is much more difficult than it used to be.
You know, it's interesting because when I first got into marketing, when I was quite a bit younger in the 80s and 90s, it was typical for a company, even a small company, to maybe manage one or two agencies. But as Susan said, with the just incredible explosion of the digital world, even medium-sized companies are having to manage 10 and 12 agencies. So what's happened, Michael, is your typical CMO or marketing director spends more time managing agencies and less time really able to grow their business and develop strategy. I think that's really one of the reasons that a firm like the Gerard Marketing Group is so important, because we do all that for the marketing director or CMO because we're able to. And it seems like a subtle difference, but when you think about how much time a CMO spends during the day tracking agencies as opposed to tracking their own business, it can be quite a daunting challenge.
Mm-hmm. Carolyn, Have you found these similar challenges?
My brother and I, we're a very small company, mom and pop shop. And before we discovered Girard Marketing Group, we had done everything ourselves, from scoop to nuts. That was the assisted living facility that we opened first. And when we decided to open our memory care facility, we knew that we really wanted to get some true professional help. So I did some research and contacted several firms, several marketing organizations here in St. Louis, all of which were a lot larger, and discovered that they had no real ability to work with a small company like ours. Our budget was just not something that they could deal with. So in a way, I'm glad because we did not have to deal with three or four different agencies in order to accomplish what we were able to discover that Girard Marketing Group could accomplish for us very, very handily. So we've been very, very pleased with everything that they've done for us.
And I think that's a good example of, you know, they were probably talking to people that were mostly in the paid category, traditional agencies, and they will say, you know, if you don't spend $100,000 a year, it's not worth our time to get to know you and your category and take you on as a client, because then they have, you know, still earned and owned media that they have to pay someone else. But when we can do all three, it enables us to take on smaller clients, but bring that big agency experience to the table.
Fantastic. Tell me a little bit more about what you did for San Gabriel.
Well, I'll let Caroline jump in as much as she would like, but it was interesting when we first met with her and her brother. It was really an idea. They had they were building a memory care center, which was kind of a new concept in assisted living. They had the name, and they knew how they wanted it to look and feel, but they didn't have a logo, a website, a single word written yet about their company. So it was really the perfect opportunity. They're such a great client. So we spent some time with them, getting to know everything they already knew, and then understanding what they didn't know so that we could do some research and find that out for them and fill in the gaps.
And that's what just really impressed John and me about Susan and her team, is they were able to very quickly, well, first of all, listen to us and truly understand what we were about, how we like to operate, how we like to work with our residents, and take just what was a concept and develop a full-blown marketing plan, a beautiful logo, which really captures the emotion, the tenderness, the love and care that we give our residents, and just develop it and develop a beautiful campaign for us. So it worked out very well.
So we've since then, over the last 2 years, have done everything from their logo to their website. We've done a lot of collateral pieces. And then we've started up their social media campaign, which they are now doing a very good job of managing themselves. So we help clients do that as well. We're happy to help them where we can, but we're also happy to train them to use internal resources where appropriate. They've also done events. And one of the things that's really excellent about this client is they are willing to track. People have a really hard time saying, how did you hear about us? But they're really good about it. And so we have quarterly meetings where we look at their master plan, what was happening in the last 3 months, where do we put marketing dollars, and then what actually got results. And when you can do that, you have so much faster growth and so much more impact with your marketing. It's definitely the right way to do it. And I'm really proud of them as a company.
And, you know, it's interesting because as a virtual firm, it's a great resource for Caroline and her brother and their management team, because to track their marketing efforts, they can sit down with Susan and her team, and our team, I should say, and everything's there. And that's really the difference with a virtual firm. The more traditional brick and mortar firms, and I think, if I remember correctly, Caroline, you actually interviewed some of those, mm-hmm. as you mentioned, they can do that, but then they have to collect all of these partnerships to get that done. Whereas as a virtual team, Susan has all of that at her fingertips. With today's pressures for marketing dollars and the return on the investment of those marketing dollars, having the ability to sit down with a trusted partner every month, every quarter, and track that is really an advantage.
John and I appreciate the size and the flexibility of Girard Marketing Group too. But we always say that we, being just a small company, we can, as opposed to a big tanker, transatlantic tanker that takes 24 hours to change direction, we're like a speedboat and we can turn on a dime. We have, you know, gotten very quick, speedy results at times from Susan and her group when needed. And I think that virtual team, the virtual office has contributed to that. They don't have to call down to accounting and go through many layers of bureaucracy. Everything is right there at our fingertips, as Sherry says.
Do you think that for emerging companies, the marketing needs are starting to fall more into these lines, looking for a firm more nimble?
Definitely. And I think there's just more pressure on everybody to do more with less, no matter what department you're in, but especially in marketing because of the communications explosion. The choices are so much broader. They have to reach more people. They need more information to really understand where their target is. It used to be, are they primarily in print, radio, or TV? And which TV show are they watching? Now it's just, it can be really daunting if you don't have an expert in each one of those to help you. And so that's also partly why our virtual team allows us to access the experts we need when we need them. So if someone doesn't need social media, we don't even bring them that group of our team as part of that project. But if they have some unusual need, we can get it. So I think that makes a big difference. There's an expertise that's required today and a broad level of information that's required. And in order to fulfill both of those, you almost have to have this kind of business model where you can access experts without having to, you know, employ 15 people day after day that have a particular skill set.
And that, it sounds like, is one of your big advantages, only employing who you need when you need them, mm-hmm. and not forcing all that overhead onto your clients.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I was going to interject that is something that, as a client, we certainly appreciate, because we know that her ability to keep overhead at a minimum means that we are getting a much more cost-effective product.
And, you know, what we see is that need is not relegated to the small startups or the medium-sized companies. In fact, we're doing business with a couple large firms that are here in town, and it's because of our structure that makes us invaluable to them. For example, we're working with a company who has multiple agencies that they're managing. But when they need a diverse project that requires multiple disciplines, the Girard Marketing Group is their ideal choice because of that. Because even the large companies, their marketing dollars are becoming more and more scrutinized. Mm-hmm. So,
and we like to say the value is in the work and in our people. So the money we save from not having a cool office space, we really do invest back in our people. And we have exceptional training. Even for myself, I just went to a leadership conference in New York last week. And we're a member of the American Association of Advertising Agencies, which is kind of the most accredited organization in the industry. And so we have access to all of those same resources, connections that the largest advertising agencies in the U.S. have. So we're pretty proud of the fact that we are regulars with their training.
How do you stay connected through this virtual environment? It seems like you're all spread out. You aren't necessarily even all in the same city.
Oh, no, right. That's a great question.
Mm-hmm. Well, and part of me wants to say, how do you not stay connected? I mean, between texting and emailing and the telephone. So we do have a system for that. And one of the things I think is so funny, in one of my last jobs in an office space, we all worked in cubicles and it was a startup. So we were all very entrepreneurial, young, hip group. But this was even 10 years ago, and people did not speak to each other. We sat in our cubes, and we all emailed each other because there was a certain accountability that went with having it written. So even in that moment, I thought, this is silly. Why are we all driving to this cube every day? And I actually was able to work remotely for that company for a while. So that was just my reality check as to why we did not need to be in one space. But in the way that we stay connected, we have a regular Monday staff meeting, like many people do, and we are all online and we screen share. So it's pretty much like we're together anyway. In fact, I find it a little bit more efficient because you don't have as much chit chat and donuts and the coffee and all that flying around. Everybody's more focused on just what's on their screen. So we do that as an entire team every Monday to make sure there's, you know, we talk about what's important for the coming week, make sure nobody's waiting on anybody else for anything, make sure nothing's falling through the cracks. We as a company collaborate in a software system where all of our projects are not only available to everyone on the team, but it's also open to the client. We have a level of transparency with clients that many people don't, where they can see as much detail or as little. And so every email, all of the timelines, all of the renditions and versions of the work are all in one place for us to refer to. It's as if there's one single file folder. And so in that way too, I feel it's actually more efficient than if we were all keeping our own folders of information. We all have one version and we know we're all looking at the same thing.
The cloud has done many things for us.
Yeah.
Fantastic. And you were built on the cloud instead of trying to adapt to it, which
yes,
by the sounds of it, gave you a drastic advantage.
Yes.
What software do you use, if you don't mind my asking?
Oh, sure. It's Basecamp. It's pretty well known in the industry. And in fact, we're always looking at new talent to add to the team. I just went to lunch with someone yesterday, and I guess it would have been Friday. And she said, I don't know, I've worked with some other people and they use this thing called Basecamp. I said, no, that's excellent. That's what we use also. So it's starting to become more well-known in the industry. And it's very user-friendly, something we would highly recommend you looking into if you aren't already using it. And in fact, some of our larger clients have taken it on within their own marketing departments after using it with us and seeing how efficient it made things.
Caroline, have you found Basecamp to be easy to use?
Yes, it certainly is. As Susan said, all of the latest versions of every piece of collateral that they're working on is available for John and me to look at and add to or suggest edits. So it's the website was up there when that was being developed, and all of the brochures. So it's been very, very useful.
There's an element that we haven't really talked about yet, which I think is really important, not just for our business, but really for any business that's considering some kind of a virtual environment. And that is, people do their best work when they're most comfortable. People like to work from home. Many people enjoy that. There's also the social environment. So one of the things that makes Basecamp so cool is if I want to go play golf in the morning and work from, you know, when I get back at noon till midnight at 11 o'clock, I don't have to worry that somebody's not awake. I can go right into Basecamp and find that one of our graphic design managers has finished something. I can go in and look at it, and there's virtually no lost time. When we work in offices, there's all this lost time. If somebody's taken their kid to the doctor or they're off that day or vacation, there's lost time when that person's not available. Well, with a system like Basecamp, there's never lost time. And when you start to think about how that equates to dollars and cents in a business, it becomes very valuable.
So digital has allowed you to become more efficient.
Absolutely. I actually had done some research on it recently as people were asking for more information about working in a virtual environment. And it was about 30% of employees' time is what most companies chalk up to people that are actually even present, but half sick, not really engaged. So there's a lot of time, even though people are physically in a building. Companies actually have to account for that. 30% of the time, people are not fully engaged in actually being efficient anyway. So we kind of eliminate that. If you're not going to be efficient or you're not engaged, you know, go downstairs and hang out with your family till you're ready to be.
Amazing.
We think so.
I personally switched to all virtual work and only work with remote teams about 2 years ago. Oh. And I found it to be a very rewarding experience mm-hmm. as well. I would never have gotten to work with people in Toronto or Pakistan.
Yeah. Wow. Sure. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
That's cool.
Were you frightened at first? Because I know some people, it's a scary step to take. If you're used to being in an environment where you show up every day, it can be a little scary. Were you frightened?
I wasn't frightened, but I was concerned, especially as we move the team. It's mm-hmm. a big change, mm-hmm. and we definitely saw a week where people didn't quite get, nobody's telling me exactly what to do, nobody's looking over me, what do I do now? Uh-huh. But after that initial bump, it was a drastic increase in productivity.
That's awesome.
Great.
Well, and for a marketing company, you know, we hire all creative people, which are a challenge sometimes to manage in and of themselves.
No.
What was it? One agency director said, oh, my father used to be the manager running it. He managed inmates in an insane asylum. Pretty much we do the same job. Giving that kind of personality who needs some freedom and needs to work where they need to in their own time. You know, some of our people really don't wake up until noon, and that's okay. We work around that. And so for that, you know, creativity to really come through and for those people to be at their best and for us to create the best work, we think it has that advantage as well.
And how does that creativity and the ability for your people to be at their most creative follow into your approach on how you build out your client's marketing strategy and how you perform your work?
I guess let's take, for instance, San Gabriel. If we are working on a new logo for them, so we all come together and we have some collaborative meetings online and we'll share screens and talk about the target and the strategy. And then we'll all kind of sit with it for a while. We give ourselves a week or two and just let people be inspired on their own. And then we all go into base camp and we have shared documents where you can start putting streams of thought. So everyone on the team will go in there and put streams of thought in there and we'll see the collaboration happen. Usually it's never the first idea. It's usually the fourth or fifth after what someone says here sparks something from someone else there. And when you get a team of two or three really creative people working together like that on their own time, it's really powerful. And then you end up with really strong creative.
You know, it's interesting because an observation that I have is I had a lot of experience working for a very large firm. We employed hundreds, literally hundreds of creative artists. And when you would come in, I can remember this like it was yesterday, we would come into the conference room. There would be the art director, the designer, a couple project heads. And it was more intimidating and not as freeing to give open feedback to art when the artist is sitting right next to you. There's something about that magic online meeting where you can do it and you don't feel inhibited. You can say, oh, you know, I think the lines are too severe or whatever the feedback is. I have found that this environment allows us to be much more open and honest with each other. And so I guess, Michael, one of the things I experienced as the client of Gerard Marketing Group, we had several, if you remember, Susan, we went through several rounds of creative because I presented them with a really big challenge. We had a name that could have been interpreted two ways that neither were appropriate. One was healthcare and one was religious. And those are bad things when you're trying to come up with a business that has nothing to do with either. But because I felt like they were able to react so quickly and creatively to the challenge, we got great work. And I feel like as a result of this model, we're able to do really good work.
Mm-hmm.
From a design perspective, especially.
Yeah, and I think that just brings to mind for me, I think a lot of probably an underlying thing we haven't recognized outright is that a lot of the ego stuff goes away too. Mm-hmm. When you work, I've certainly worked in ad agencies where huge egos, a lot of things to work around. And everybody really cares about the work at the end of the day. We're not worried about our ego's not in our office space, our ego's not in such and such as person's idea or work. It really becomes more collaborative in that virtual environment, we find.
I think that's, as a member of this, a part of a virtual team, I find that personally very refreshing.
Very interesting. And as a virtual team, how do you go about finding new clients?
Well, that's a great question, Michael. You know, so Gerard Marketing Group has been a virtual agency now for over 3 years. And up until now, Susan Gerard grew because her clients were talking to one another. A lot of her business came through referral. That was true of small startups like San Gabriel and Caroline mentioned. I think she was referred by another agency who knew of Susan and knew of her work. And so a lot of it for the first 3 years was mostly referral. How we do it now is different than how Susan has done it in the past. with 3 years under our belt, refined processes in place, I think we really know how to attack the market now as a virtual agency. Just this year, actually, and why I'm so excited to be a part of this and to help with this, is we're actually going to start actively marketing Girard Marketing Group. And so we're going to do that by identifying, and we have done this, the types of clients that are most likely to get value from what we do. So we're not going to go out to the world and say, hey, we're the best agency because we're virtual and you're going to get a better value. We've actually taken the 3 years of experience and history and said, well, what clients got the most out of working with us? Let's go find some more of those. And we're going to do that through networking and through getting our point of view, all of this craziness that Susan talked about earlier with the different types of marketing strategies. We're going to start putting our point of view out there more. And so I think through networking and getting that out there, we're going to start to build a stronger base. It's a completely different world.
Very interesting. With that new world, so you're going out, you're broadcasting through social media channels, or are you targeting?
Well, actually, we're going to be more targeted. And now that's just our own personal choice, given the type of client and the type of business we want. That is not at all meant to be an indictment on others using social media, depending on the client target. But what we're trying to do, Michael, is we're trying to grow by looking for the companies who are most likely to take advantage of having all of these great resources in one shop. And that is a targeted approach. And it's not limited to St. Louis or to the St. Louis region. So we have some good experience in very large companies. We have some good experience in medium companies. We have some good experience in small startups. What we're really trying to do is look at, well, what companies have the same kinds of marketing challenges we've been able to solve? And that can be everything from company brands who either haven't grown yet or are stifled. We have a real ability, because of our process, to go in and figure out a way to clear all the hurdles for a brand to grow. And so it's hard to say that's always going to be us going out and broadcasting. It's really about having a point of view available through podcasts, through Blast, through a rich base of companies who have brands that they're trying to grow, and getting that point of view out there so that as people start to listen and engage with us, then we can better identify what they need. I don't know if that makes sense to you, but
it does.
That's what we're trying to do.
It does. So what is the ideal client? What is the target?
That's a great question. Well, I think we have one sitting next to us. And what made, I think, Caroline and her brother and their management team ideal had nothing to do with the industry they were in. It had nothing to do with the marketing budget they had. I think it was the challenge they had. Their challenge was, we have this idea and we want it to grow. And we don't even have a physical building for you to look at, but this is what we're thinking. The reason I think that was so energizing to Girard Marketing Group is it allowed Susan and her team to dig in and say, you know, we have an opportunity to help this business from the beginning of this challenge. They haven't gotten so far down the road. We're going to come in and clean up. But this is a new thing, and we have an opportunity to learn and teach them a little bit about what we do and really grow together. And that's really kind of the basis of the Girard Marketing Group. Is we don't grow until our clients grow. Mm-hmm. So a company that's either got a product that hasn't grown in a while and they need to get it to the next level, or somebody who's looking to put out a new product or a new service or even a new brand, I think that's where Girard Marketing Group can really deliver great results. And I think that's the kind of client that is ideal for us. I don't know, Susan, if you want to address that anymore.
Yeah, I would say, and we work with 100-year-old brands that need a refresh. But I would say the most rewarding client is when I love meeting with somebody when the brand is something they're describing and nothing has been done yet, and we get to really bring the brand to life. The value, and Sherry talked about, you know, it's not so much about what's the dollar amount of their budget, but how do they value marketing? And somebody like San Gabriel clearly values marketing because they're willing to try new things. They're willing to track results and meet on a quarterly basis. And that's the kind of client that we really want to work with.
And do you consider marketing as an investment in the business?
Absolutely. And today, you know, some marketers aren't used to this, but today you really have to draw a direct line from what you're spending to what you're getting out of it. So we're very big on your marketing return on investment. What are you getting out of every dollar that you're spending?
And to bring that back to one of our earlier topics, that comes down to tracking.
Exactly. Yeah,
absolutely.
Tracking. And some of the studies, there was one study that showed people that had a strategic plan were able to gain growth. It was like 7% faster, not hugely enticing. But people that had a plan and then also tracked the growth on a regular basis and made adjustments were able to grow 60% faster. So all of a sudden, that's a number people go, okay, I'm willing to put the effort in now.
Well, and that's particularly important for something new. That's even more important, I think, than when you, as an agency, step into a product or brand that's been going for a while. And it doesn't matter if it's a, you know, 100-year-old company with a new product, or as was the case when I was a client of Girard Marketing Group, an 86-year-old organization who had a name that no longer made sense. If it's new, you absolutely have to track it. And marketers, they're interesting. You know, I look back and I look at some of the things I've done as a marketer. There's this tendency to start a plan and then say, okay, this is the plan. We're going to stick to it. We're not going to veer. But when you're developing a new product and you're putting a new brand out there, you have to be nimble. You have to be able to say, this was not the right tactic for this strategy. We're 6 months into it, and we've learned that because we've tracked. We've got to adjust. And that is hard for the traditional sort of, I'll call it old school marketer to do. And if you're not able to do that, you're going to be in trouble. And if you're not able to track, you're not able to do that. So mm-hmm. Especially with a new product and a new facility, a new product, it's really critical.
And especially, you know, we talked about those three categories of paid media, earned media, and owned media. There's a point in time where you shift from, and this happened with San Gabriel, they started mostly with paid media. And that's a little bit more expensive, and you have to invest more in your media dollars up front. But then as time goes on, you get to evolve more to your owned and earned media, which typically are less expensive. So you have to track things so you know when the right time is to make that shift. And we just actually had that meeting with San Gabriel this last month where it was time to shift away from spending so much with paid media. Let's go more toward owned and earned. Let's do some more press releases. Let's do more in social media. Let's do some e-blasts and things where you're creating this relationship. Now that we've kind of spoken to the masses, we're now refining who our target is. And the joy for the marketer at that point is it costs less. You start moving into those types of tactics.
It costs less. And the other thing is what Susan's describing can also be indicative of the health of your brand. And what do I mean by that? Well, if you've launched a brand or a product and it's been out in the marketplace for, let's say it's been out there for 3 or 4 years, and you're still in a mode where you have to do the majority of your investment is what Susan's describing as paid media, that means that you're probably churning customers. And so that tells you something about your product. It might tell you something about your product. It might tell you something about your service. But if you, after a certain point in your product life cycle, are still having to do mostly paid media, you got to look at where your customer loyalty is. And so the reverse can happen as well. Your marketing can inform your product, and your product can inform your marketing. And I venture to say, Carrie, that was probably pretty evident when you started to see that so much of your business was coming through referrals.
Absolutely, yeah. And this is because we are more service-oriented. We've discovered, and again, we knew this from assisted living, that referrals tend to be our bread and butter. However, we did need to establish mm-hmm. our presence and the brand, that the paid media, that was absolutely necessary. But we've been open now a year coming up in May. So luckily, we are able to start to back off, as Susan said, because the referrals are coming in mm-hmm. fast and furious, and we're a known entity now. So just the owned and earned media, we hope will be able to keep us going. But we will still do some of the print advertising.
I think one of the biggest traps people fall into, especially if they might have limited resources, is looking for that silver bullet. You know, oh, social media is going to bring all my business in. That's all I have to do, or I only have to start blogging. But there is no silver bullet. And I think the biggest learning any company or marketer should take away is, even though there's all these new things out there, the old tactics do still have a time and a place. They create credibility and awareness in a fast, efficient way for your paid media. And then the other tactics have a time and a place too. But just to try to do any one of them, it would simplify your implementation, but it's not going to bring you the best results. These studies have shown that having a little bit of media in all three of those categories, paid, owned, and earned, is really what's most impactful, even when you're a smaller size company like San Gabriel. And so I really applaud them for taking the harder road and doing that type of plan. But I think they're seeing the rewards and the results.
And of course, we couldn't have done it without your very firm but gentle and experienced leadership. It's
Thank
been
you.
A pleasure. Absolute
Thank
pleasure.
You.
That's the other thing I do want to say. My brother and I, we decided when we wanted to go out and actually seek professional help for our marketing, we wanted
that sounds so funny.
We needed
seek
it.
Professional
yeah.
help now.
Believe me, we needed it. we one of the first things. Well, our goal was to, of course, find a team of professionals, but we also, it was very important to us to find people that we liked to spend time with and enjoyed working with, because it especially in the beginning, it was very time consuming. We did spend a lot of time together, but it has been just, it's always been just delightful. And it, even just within 3 minutes of our first meeting, both my brother and I, we kind of looked at each other and, you know, we recognized the seal of approval in each other's eyes. And it's just been a pleasure working with Susan and her team throughout this whole process.
Thank you.
And customer service, I understand, is still a very big part of marketing.
Oh, goodness. It's everything. I mean, absolutely. I'm someone who was a customer and now I'm part of the team. Marketing, there's so much involved in it. And it's creative, yet it's scientific. It's measured, yet, you know, it's sometimes spur of the moment. One of the things that we're virtual, right? We've talked about that. But one of the things that we don't let up on for a minute is how that impacts the client and to what extent does that enable us to better serve the client. We know because we feel happy in our job. We know we're given better output. We know we like what we're doing. We know we like the creative, but we also see it because the clients are able to react with us on Basecamp, as Susan mentioned. There's no substitute, no matter how cool Basecamp is, no matter how efficient it makes us, no matter how much less lost time it prevents. There's no excuse for the voice over the phone. There's no substitute for that eye-to-eye contact. And certainly being virtual does not prevent us from doing that. It just means we like to go to the client's place where they're more comfortable. You know, we don't, I think you call it office ego, Susan. Is that mm-hmm. your term? We don't have office ego. We're not going to bring you in and show off our offices. We like to be where the customer is and where they're most comfortable.
That thing I'd add to that, when I was at this leadership seminar last week, they talked about customer service for advertising agencies specifically, and they said, that is one thing that you have complete control over. You don't have control over everything. But you, as the director of the firm, have complete control over how your clients experience your agency. And so that's something I'm very committed to. I think we want to grow, but we never want to grow to the point where we don't have the time to give our clients the kind of service that we know they deserve and we want them to have. So I think that also comes from me being on the client side for a time as well. I understand what their demands are, what they need, and I have pretty high standards, and we deliver on that.
This is going to be my last question, at least for the time being. What do you recommend for business owners when it comes to considering marketing? When should they start really considering it, and when should they pull the trigger?
think really as early as they're ready. You know, when they even start concepting their business and thinking about what do we want this to look and feel like, really that's marketing too. When you're talking about your, you know, the typical four P's of marketing, your product, your place, your price, and your promotion. And we have that experience, and really strategy is the thing that is what we started the agency on, where when I was just doing freelance work, that's what I was doing. I was helping people write strategic marketing plans. And so we bring that to every client, no matter the size. So really, as early as they're ready to bring someone on, we would be happy to meet with someone and help them, even if it's just brainstorm, if they're still figuring out, we don't know what the name is even. So we've done naming for companies. And a lot of times, it's funny, people will end up going to a web firm first because they just don't really know where to start. But wherever you start, make sure whoever you talk to is really well-versed and good at strategic planning, because that is step one. If you go directly to a web firm and they just start building a site and whipping up a logo and you haven't really defined things like we did for San Gabriel, you know, how should the interactions look and feel? And let's look at your target and not just who they are and describing them. What do they really care about? What are the key consumer insights that drive them emotionally? Because those are all things that impact everything from the name to exactly how the logo looks and how it makes you feel. And those are just the beginning blocks before you start thinking about your website and all of those other marketing materials that follow. So definitely start with a strong strategy. And sometimes people have a good leader within their company and they've written their own marketing strategy, which is awesome. And we can certainly take a handoff at that point as well. But make sure if you don't have the internal resources to create it, call someone like a Gerard Marketing Group and make sure you've seen some of their strategic work to prove that they're capable, because that really sets the tone for everything. If you don't have the right strategy from the beginning, you're not going to be in the right place at the right time with the right message, and you're going to spend more money than you need to if you're not thinking about it from the beginning.
And the only thing I would add to that, having been on both sides as well, is when you're looking for a firm, pay attention to the kinds of questions they're asking you. Pay attention. If they're asking you questions that make you think, consider them. If they're asking you simple questions like, how much money do you have to spend? Do you have a color palette? Do you know what your logo... companies that, whether it's Gerard Marketing Group, whether it's traditional agencies, that ask you questions that really make you think, those are the companies you can feel good about in terms of they're going to be thoughtful, and whatever approach they come up with is likely to be grounded in business rigor. And I think that's really... some advice I would give all of your listeners, Michael, about what kind of questions to look at.
Mm-hmm. And where is the delineation between the marketing strategy and the marketing plan and the business strategy, if there is one?
Sometimes it's one and the same. Sometimes there is no business plan, and we write a marketing plan that really starts driving their business. But there's definitely, even when they're are both entities existing? And even, for instance, with San Gabriel, we've uncovered some things in the key consumer insights that then affected how they were going to market their business. And I believe we uncovered that there could be a need for people to have daycare for memory care for older adults. And so they said, hey, maybe that's something we'll try. They definitely go hand in hand.
And I have to say that we do have a memory daycare program. It's a fantastic success, and we have turned over full-time residents from that program.
Which is great.
Yeah. That's the whole point of doing it. Mm-hmm. So a wonderful discovery and idea and thought that you guys
had.
And
I think that even came probably as an idea of one of our meetings. We'll get together quarterly, maybe more often if there's certain things that need approvals. But every time John and Carrie and myself and whoever else in the Gerard Marketing Group team get together, I feel like a couple of new ideas come out of it that neither of us brought to the table necessarily, but we brainstorm, and there's this great collaboration that just makes it.
It is.
Makes it a joy to work together. We're bringing out the best in each other, and that's what makes it fun.
Mm-hmm. It is really wonderful to hear, especially from a marketing firm. My last question that I like to ask everyone is to recommend a book to my listeners. And before we begin, this has really made me think back on some of my experiences with marketing firms and not reading the classics. David Ogilvy in particular is one of my favorite writers, and 80 years ago was saying the same things. You need to track, you need to test, and then you need to adapt.
Absolutely.
I think that's been lost by many firms over time.
Yes, yes. And I think a lot of the young marketers that are coming out of schools today are super excited about the latest and greatest thing, and they're losing sight of the big picture that is so important. So on books, ironically, I just shared a book with these two ladies as a thank you gift for doing the interview. And so I have to say, I would recommend right now, it's called On Fire by John O'Leary. He is a motivational speaker built from his own story. He wasn't born a motivational speaker. He will tell you his first speaking engagement was to a group of Girl Scouts, and he vomited in the parking lot before. So he's just a really charming, really interesting motivational speaker that's had some big challenges in his life that he's overcome. One of the big things in the book is about accountability. And I think that kind of goes back to the tracking, where there's different steps of how to make the most of your life. And a whole lot of it just goes back to being accountable for the things that you do. And I believe strongly in that. And I'm so proud of our team, because the fact that they are each so accountable allows us to work virtually. You know, we don't have to worry about someone saying they're going to get something done and they don't, or trying to cover up anything. Really, everyone's very accountable and has a lot of integrity in the way they work. And so I would recommend that book, because it really hits home on how that can impact people's lives and even the world if everyone were a little bit more accountable.
Very interesting. And Caroline?
Well, this is not a business topic. Okay. This is something, if you just want an escape, it was written by Richard Llewellyn. It's called How Green Was My Valley. He's a Welsh author. This book is just a beautiful, lyrical tale of a family who grew up in a coal mining town in Wales. And at the time that the story takes place, this is still coal mining was the industry in Wales, and the Welsh people tend to be, they love to sing. So they have these men's singing groups, and which is one reason why I think that the book itself, his use of the English language is very lyrical, because there's just, it's like hearing music when you read it. It's just a beautiful, beautiful story.
And I think it's important to note here that reading in all its forms can help improve not only your business, but if it improves your life, that is just as important for your business. Mm-hmm. And it's very important to know that sometimes you do have to take a break.
You do. You really do.
And I would recommend The Go-Giver by Bob Berg and John David Mann. Actually, it was my husband who recommended it to me. And it's very inspirational. It's about giving, putting it out in the universe, and getting it back. And it kind of helped me center myself, and actually helped me realize that I was looking for a change in my life. So The Go-Giver, I recommend it.
Fantastic. Well, thank you all for coming in today. I think my listeners would thank you as well.
Thank you, Michael.
Yeah.